join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is What to Do with a Lump Sum by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Today, since they approved the stimulus package, a bunch of y'all going to be getting checks of at least $600 if you have an income. What is it, personal income or family income? Under household income, I believe under $150,000. Personal income under $75,000 a year. Most likely, and those of you, if you file electronically, they're going to be releasing checks as soon as, I think, tonight, from what I heard. And so many of you, you're going to be getting a lump sum of money. Also, many of you are also going to have tax returns. When you have a tax return, that you get a lump sum of money. The car dealerships, I'm not going to mention the ones we have in our area here, who especially start advertising around this time, they know you're going to get a lump sum of money. And they already got plans. They got plans for your lump sum of money. The furniture stores, they got plans for your lump sum of money. Can I tell you, if everybody else is planning for your lump sum of money, I think it's best for you to plan for your lump sum of money. And so that's what I want to start teaching on today. It's something I've taught on before, and it's called What to Do with a Lump Sum. A lump sum of money. What to do with that. And one of the reasons why I even teach about this or even think about this principle, some of you heard this story, some of you haven't heard this story, but my mother died when I was a junior in college. I was 20 years old. I didn't have a father who was in my life who did anything for me. You have heard me talk about Bishop Bailey, and he was my uncle and my man of God and all that. But, you know, financially, the only person who supported me was my mother. And even then, by then, I was in college, and all she did in the first 2 years, she paid the balance of my tuition after whatever financial aid I had. As a matter of fact, my mother and I, we got into an argument one time because by the second or third year, she said, I can't be paying all this money. And I was back then, I was wise, 17, 18 years old. I didn't want to get student loans. And they offered student loans. I said, I don't want no loans. And she said, well, you expect me to pay all this money. And I didn't want loans. So by the third year after she would pay the balance, which is about $1,000 or $2,000. And that don't sound like a lot of money until I found out when my mother died that she was making $16,000 a year. You making $16,000 a year, $1,000 or $2,000 is a lot of money. And the reason why I know she made $16,000 a year is because the company that she worked for, she had a insurance policy that paid one times her salary. So I got a check for $16,000. Here I am, 20 years old. I don't think I had ever seen a $1,000 check at one time. And now I got six. What you talking about? Moving on up to the east side. deluxe apartment in the sky. You falls out concerned. I had $1 million. One of the first things I did, as you might imagine, I went and bought a car. I bought a car that was the car was $8,500. I paid sticker price for a car with 3,000 miles on it. Okay, if you listen to me, you already know that was a mess up right there. Basically, I bought a demo used car, but I paid sticker price because I didn't know. And I remember the Trust Company of New Jersey. Some of you who may be watching from Jersey City, the Trust Company of New Jersey, there in Journal Square. I went in there and I gave my $16,000 check and I told them I want cash. I want cash. Because, you know, how you see the movies and they always had a briefcase with cash. That was my picture. I had a briefcase with me, too. I didn't know anything about money. I wanted to have a laid out cash. And they said, well, what are you trying to do? I said, I just want my cash. They said, they brought me in and branch manager sat down with me. He helped me understand about setting up an account. I think he may even told me about a money market account, what I now know it was. And he asked what I said, well, I was buying a car. And I said, I'm going to pay cash for this car. And so they recommended, they said, well, you have credit? I said, no, I don't have credit. And so he recommended me that you put a good down payment on the car and then build credit. So I took $6,000 and I bought a car and I had a car payment, never forget, for 48 months for $114 while I was in college. I was able to do that with my work study jobs and all that. But then I remember I paid the balance on my tuition for the next 2 years. I got through college with that. But other than that, that money was blown. So I'm going to estimate that between the car and tuition, I probably paid that was $10,000. Now, the other $6,000, I don't know where it went. I do remember a particular young lady went to, anyway. And that was before I met Pastor Marcia. If it was Marcia, I wouldn't feel bad about it because that would have been an investment. But since it didn't work out, that was just a waste of money. You know? And so I blew that money. It may not seem like a lot of money, but it was a lot of money for where I was. Now, later on, when I mentioned this, because I didn't tell anybody I had the money, I was afraid, now y'all hide money, don't want anybody to know you got anything, think they're going to ask you for something. I didn't even tell my Uncle Bishop Bailey. I told him later about that. He said, you could have bought an apartment building. I said, huh? He said, and he told me about investment properties that he had knew about or purchased. He said, no, but I put it, and he told me about his house at the time, the house that he lives in now, you know, that's worth probably hundreds of thousands because he owned all his years. He said, Muhammad, I bought that house from back then. He said, I paid $5,000 for that house. But I didn't know, didn't ask anybody. And when I look back now, what I could have done, I didn't know to do. So that lump sum of money did not really advance my life other than the amount that went to my college education, okay? And I didn't need a car, but I didn't necessarily need a new car. And I didn't necessarily need a car that had payments for where I was at that time. I was still in college. Oh, you're listening to me. So I want you to avoid having regrets 30 years later, 10 years later, 5 years later, saying, man, I blew that money. If I had that money now, I know some of y'all put up the heart, put up your hands. If you didn't say that, man, if I had that money right now, that all that money I blew on reefer, all that money I blew on liquor, all the money I blew on partying, all the money I blew on that woman or that man or trying to buy love or all the things that we did. I mean, there's all types of waste that we have done. 2 Corinthians 8 chapter and verse 18 through 20, Paul's receiving an offering from the Corinthian church. And he said, now, I need you all to put the offering aside, and I'm going to send Timothy, one brother, and I'm going to send Timothy with me. He said, now, y'all know Timothy. Y'all know that as a son with a father, he served me. He said, y'all know Timothy's record. You know Timothy's integrity. He says, and he was saying that because he said, Timothy's going to be handling the money. I don't understand. I don't mean how I'm meddling. I am meddling right now. I'm meddling right now. I don't know why churches have people mess with money and touching money who have no integrity. People have questionable character and you making them a trustee. The first word in trustee is trust. And trust has to be earned. Trust has to be earned. People with poor integrity should not be around money, shouldn't talk about money, shouldn't collect money, shouldn't hold an offering, nothing. And so he said, we send with him that brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the church. He's talking about Timothy. Verse 19, he said, not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches. He said, y'all recommended him to travel with us with this grace. This grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. He said, which is administered by us. He said, you give it, but we have to administrate over it, which is administrated by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of a ready mind. Now watch this. In verse 20, he says, avoiding this, that any man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. That was a powerful verse. He said, I got to make sure that I'm doing things above reproach. He said, because I want you to say that we blew this money. I don't want anyone to accuse us that we mismanaged. And I want you to see what he says here, this abundance. So it wasn't a little bit of money. It wasn't just as we used to say back in the day, chump change. What the people brought together was a lump sum of money. He said, I don't want anyone to blame us. It's abundance. The New Living Translation of that verse says, he says, I don't want anybody. I want to guard against criticism for the way we are handling this generous gift. Now, he's talking about that corporately. He's talking about the church giving, making sure that we're administrating over the money right, which is why this ministry. Okay, which is why this ministry, which is why we have a yearly audit from outside source of the funds of this ministry. This ministry brings in millions of dollars a year, but millions go out, and it takes that to run the campuses that we have. It takes that to manage close 70,000 square feet of property that we have in various and churches in Augsburg and Florence and here in Columbia, and our children facility and our office building and our family life center. It takes all that. He said, but we also want to make sure it's not being mismanaged. And so he said, you don't want to be blamed. We don't want anyone to accuse us of blowing this money. This abundance. God will bring abundance in your life, but you can't mismanage it. God wants to bring abundance in your life, but you're going to qualify for it based upon how you are handling it. Okay? So I use that as a foundational scripture that's talking where it says, don't be blamed or criticized regarding how you handle the abundance. Now, a lot of you, there's nobody else that's going to criticize you, but you got to live with your own self. You got to live with your own conscience. Man, I blew that. Now, let me say something about this lump sum that you may be getting from the government. Okay, so if, the president, the outgoing president, he really wanted y'all to have $2,000. He really did. Okay, but they're not doing $2,000 because Mitch McConnell said, you don't have no power here now. Now, you know, you're just trying to make some trouble for us. Anyway, so we ain't giving you get $600. $600 per person, so a couple, that's $1,200. And then I believe $600 per child. So if you're a family, like a couple of, I know here in my church who have three children, that's going to be $3,000, right? Yeah, that's going to be, so six, for each child, $600, that's $1,800. And for the couple, that's $3,000. Now, if you are behind, if your mortgage is behind, your rent is behind, you don't have food, your utilities behind, it ain't no question the first thing you need to do with that money. You got to take care of the needs of your house. Now, I'm talking to Christians right now, and of course we understand the first thing we should do is tithe off everything we get. But I didn't earn that. We should tithe off all of our income. Well, what is income? If it comes in, it's income. That's real simple. If it comes in, it's income. All right? So at the church here, I have a salary, but there's also people who bless me and send me a card. Okay, I tithe off of everything. If you want God to bless everything and cause multiple streams to come to you, tithe from any stream. So if your needs aren't met, if you're behind, the first thing you need to do is catch up. secure your life. Okay, you wanna catch your rent up, catch your mortgage up. Okay, you wanna buy food if you want to take care of the basic needs. For some of you, it's not about managing that money. It's about immediately taking that money and doing what you got to do to survive. But for many of us, we're beyond that. So for those people, $3,000 is not going to change their life. It's just going to keep their head above water. But some of you, $3,000, if you invest it right, if you use it wisely, it could make a significant difference in where you are right now. It could change some things in your life. Some of you, you want to get more than that. Some of you, you know, if you got the $16,000 that I got, it could really change something in your life depending how you use it. It could put you in a better position financially. So Proverbs 27, 23 through 27, I'm going to read this from the Message translation for the sake of time. Now, the King James says, know the state of your sheep, and then know the state of your sheep. They live in an agricultural society. For us, he was saying, listen, handle your business. That's what we're going to be talking about next month, throughout the month. Handle your business. He's saying, handle your business. Know your sheep. Know your money. Know your accounts. Know what you have. Know your bills. Know where you are financially is what that means. So Message translation says, know your sheep by name. Carefully attend to your flocks. Do not take them for granted. Possessions don't last forever, you know. That lump sum is not going to last forever, you know. And then, watch this, when the crops are in and the harvest is stored in the barn, a crop is a lump sum. When the crops come in, when the lump sum comes in and the harvest is stored in the barns, then he says, know how to administrate over that. He said, then you can knit sweaters from the lamb's wool. You can sell the goats for a profit. I think the King James said, for the profit of a field. That sounds like land. That sounds like making an investment to further advance your business. He said, then there'll be plenty of milk and meat to last your family through the winter. He said, if you know the state of your flocks, if you administer over the abundance, if you manage the harvest, then there'll be plenty of milk. You'll have meat to last your family through the winter. What's the winter, y'all? The hard times. What's the winter? When things aren't producing like it does in the spring and in the summer. What's the winter? When you don't feel like running out there and doing this and doing that. He says, if you manage it wisely, you'll have what you need. And so that's the principle I always go through. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, if you're using, especially using a paper Bible, mark that and put it in green. Okay? Get a green highlighter. Because what I do, I highlight things that have to do with finances, wealth and riches on some level, even including financial matters. I highlight that with green. So this should be about green here. This is telling you how you handle your money, how you manage your possession. It's not going to last forever. He said, so be deliberate, intentional. Okay, let me use, I think it was George W. Bush came up with the word strategery. You need some strategery with this money. Okay, you need some strategy. So right now, I'm telling you this, before that check hits your account, before it's mailed, if you don't file your taxes online, electronically, you need to already be having a plan for what you're going to do. Okay. You need to know where it needs to go. What's going to be the priority? Because if you don't know the priority, a commercial can come on television and you will misalign a priority. If you already don't have a plan for it, the fact that the furniture store will tell you, come on down here and you can buy this furniture and you don't have to pay anything for 36 months, that might now distract you. Oh, I'm gonna go deeper. If you don't have a priority for what you need to do with that money, you might listen to some prophet online prophesying who tell you, no, right now you need to take that and you need to sow that right here. If God tells you to do that, do that. But you need to have a plan for your own money and being deliberate and intentional about it and not let other people determine what you do with your money, because you got to provide for your family and take care of your life. So money has to be managed. When you get a lump sum of money, here's all this in a nutshell. I'm going to break it down. But you want to use it to advance your life. When you get a lump sum of money, you want to use it to advance your life. How do you advance your life financially? You deal with three areas of your life. Real simple. Your past, your present, and your future. Whenever you get a lump sum of money, think about your past, your present, and your future. Because the goal is financial freedom. The goal is financial freedom. Now, I have a unique definition of financial freedom. I define financial freedom as the ability to live life on your financial terms. Financial freedom is the ability to live life on your financial terms. I'm sorry, y'all. I actually meant to talk to my media people and see if they could spontaneously, well, I probably couldn't spontaneously, which is why I need to, I told them in advance, to put up these notes for you, okay? To put up these bullets for you. Financial freedom gives you the ability to live life on your financial terms. Financial freedom, let me say it another way, is the ability to live and give as you desire. Financial freedom does not mean everybody has a Mercedes, because maybe you don't like a Mercedes. Financial freedom does not mean everybody has a 7,000 square foot house. Come on, there's only one of you, and you don't like to clean a house. So the last thing you need is a 7,000 square foot house. Okay, so here's the deal, y'all. Money gives you options. That's all money does. Money gives you the option of flying in coach or flying first class. Well, both of them going to get you there, but money gives you the option to say, well, maybe I want to be a little more comfortable. Money gives you the option to say it may be more COVID in the back of the plane than in the front of the plane. That's the truth. Money gives you the options. You know, I follow tennis. And some of you don't know. I mean, when you're at the height of the tennis game, you're making some money. You know, they make, you know, they go on a tournament. If they win the tournament, they get $10 million, $30 million, $20 million. And so I'm looking at some of these tennis players. I'm not going to mention names, but really, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's that profession is what they do. And you know, they work very hard to get there. But, you know, young lady who's one of the foremost tennis players, she, I follow her on Instagram because, again, I'm a tennis fan. And she was showing the other day, she was flying, her and her boyfriend. They were just them on a private jet. Every time she flies, they fly private because they have the option to do that. Money just gives them the option. Well, what you need to fly private for? Because they got the money to do it. And it's an option. Now, the problem is when you're trying to fly private and your mortgage behind. What you worrying about? Get on the commercial with the rest of us. Okay? And so all money gives you is options. Money makes you a bigger of whatever you already are. That's how Bishop Bailey said it coming up as a boy. I learned to say it a little bit differently now. He said, but all money does is make you a bigger of whatever you already are. Let me put that a little more articulately. Money is a magnifier. Money is a magnifier. Okay, some of you right now, you have the capacity to look at the screen and blow it up, make it bigger. Okay? You can see the same thing on your phone, but you might be also to cast it over on your TV. And the bigger your screen, so good. And the bigger your TV screen, the bigger that I'll be on the screen. All money does is magnify and amplify what you already are. Okay? People don't become cheap or people don't become generous because they get more money. People are able to be more generous because they have money. People don't become cheap because they get money. They were cheap already. Now they're cheaper with more. So what? If you already, now come and follow me now. If a person already, I don't know the going price for crack. I don't know, and I'm not even gonna ask around those because I don't believe nobody around me here who here helped me. They know the going price of crack. All right. But back in the day, they used to talk about you get a vial of crack for $5 or something. I don't know, okay? Because crack is whack. All right. But if you already into crack, you now become a millionaire, don't stop you from taking crack. Now it just you just get a pure form of cocaine. All money does, it amplifies you. Money don't make you good or bad. Money just makes you who you are and allows who you are to be seen. That's what it does. So money's not going to corrupt you. Okay. So if you have a heart to give, a heart to sow, when you get more money, you'll give more, you'll sow more. See, and I know this is true because Jesus, so for all of you out there talking about when I get more money, I'm going to tithe. That's a lie. You saying Jesus is a liar. Because Jesus said, if you're faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. I didn't say that. So if you're going to get mad and say I'm lying, then you're calling Jesus a liar. Because Jesus said, if you're faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. And if you're unjust in least, you'll be unjust in much. But if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. He said the way you show that you're going to be faithful with more is by how you manage and what you do with what you have right now. So all this stuff about I'm going to tithe when I make more money. No, it'll just look like it's too much money. I heard somebody recently saying that, a preacher discussing tithe. He said somebody came to church and she said, Pastor, I'm having a hard time right now. She said, I was making $500 a week and I have no problem paying $50. She said, but now I got this good government job and I'm making, you know, my tithe would be $1,000 or more a week. Said, I'm just having a problem with that. Why? So the real deal is that they really had a problem with the little. It really should be easy, especially if you wasn't used to living at that level. Okay, so money makes you, it's going to amplify who you are.
There's a right way to handle your finances and a wrong way. For many, coming into financial gain only leads to more problems. In this informative series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us what to do when we come into a lump sum of money. You can order this series by calling 877-798-5433 or go online to www.rightdirection.info and visit our online bookstore. Ask for What to Do with a Lump Sum. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.